Great. It's good to be together, isn't it? And we're looking at a series entitled Firm Foundations. And this is the third week we're together, but it's actually only the second of the messages in the series because, well, the Holy Spirit led us differently last week. And if he does the same this week, that's fine. He's in control. And I hope you'll bear with us. The title for last week, which is now for this week, is called The Firm Foundations, The First Essential. And we were basing it particularly from a verse in 1 Corinthians. I mentioned chapter 3. We read all 11 verses last week. But let me just read you again just two verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read just the verses 10 and 11. It's the Apostle Paul writing to a church which he had helped to bring to birth. And he says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Foundations, we are discovering, are very important for buildings and construction, and we're discovering that foundations for our lives are important. And Paul said the foundations for the church that was laid in Corinth, they were important too. Firm foundations, the first essential. Foundations have to be constructed according to regulation standards. And Anne missed it, but we showed a picture of Brookdale extension that Don built, and we all heard the story of how Don had to dig down to get the rock before the building could go up, and how they had to alter the inside in order to fit the foundations. So foundations are essential. There are all sorts of ways in which construction engineers build foundations, but I understand they're all subject to inspection. A building inspector has an important job, turning up at every stage to examine that the structure is according to plan and is satisfactory. So a building inspector is always sent to look at the foundations before anything is built on it. Here's just a little clip of a building inspector, a lady building inspector, in action. So just listen to what she got up to.
It's very exciting being on site because we tend to deal with all sorts of different work, so from the little domestic extensions or loft conversions to large buildings. Our role in the industry is to inspect and provide our advice at any point of the construction. Like today, we haven't had any issues, but if there were any issues, we would feedback.
If you look there, I can actually see some light through that one.
Our role is to help the developers to make sure that the buildings are safe for the end user.
There must be an access. There's a roof access just there.
You see the projects from the very beginning to the very end, and it's quite satisfying to see the finished building and knowing that you had an impact and influence. It's just rewarding. It's very good. So if you...
An interesting job, I would imagine. You see all sorts. But it made me think, if they have to inspect the foundations of any house or construction, how important it is that we have a little inspection of the foundations of a church. And I don't mean just the physical building. I mean how it's built up with people, and how important to have a little inspection of our lives. And I think it's very helpful. And I thought, well, I don't know. Would I like somebody to come and inspect the foundations of my life? Actually, I remember, just as I say that, a very dear pastor, who was a little younger than I was, one of the churches that we served in the city of Southampton for a number of years, where we helped lead that congregation. And this dear pastor took me over to the sports centre in Southampton one day, and we sat on a seat overlooking the football pitches. And he actually began to look into the foundations of my life with me. It wasn't easy, but I really admire him for what he did. Nobody else has ever done that I can think of in my life. Would you be open to that? I think it might be quite interesting for us to support one another. Well, the firm foundations are the first essential. And I think there is great reward in re-examining the foundations of the Christian life. We're not going to have a lot of time to do that just this morning. We'll go on to look next week and probably the week after as well about how we might do that. But what a blessing it is to have firm foundations, because when the storms rage, and you heard from us last week, Rita and I are going through a few storms at the moment. It's not easy. But actually, to dwell secure because we're building a life on the firm foundation that God has made for us is so important. It is indeed the first essential for our lives, but as we saw 2 weeks ago, that's not just for now, but it's also, like the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, you've got to think about the coming age. There's a future. We're all facing an eternity. Are the foundations of our lives built correctly? Well, the first essential foundation, the Apostle Paul said, is the one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the first essential foundation for your life must be Jesus Christ. And I just want to highlight three little things with you this morning. Who he is, why he came, and how he becomes the foundation of our lives. Well, who he is. Jesus was very concerned that people understood who he is. Jesus, in Matthew's gospel, it's recorded, asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they had different ideas. Some a great prophet, some Elijah. And then Jesus turned to his closest disciples, his friends, and said, well, who do you say I am? So he was very concerned that they understood who he is. Jesus Christ is indeed the rock, good foundation, on whom the church is built. He is the rock on whom your life and my life needs to be built. There is no other foundation. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. We thought a little bit about that last week. Another verse in the Bible says that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. There is no alternative. No addition. No extra. It's Jesus has to be the foundation. Why? Well, because he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is from eternity. He came from heaven, where he was with his Father forever, and he came to earth for a short period of time. He's gone back to heaven, and in him all things hold together. That's why he's such a strong foundation, because he is unique. There is no one like him. Who he is? what Jesus said time and again, who he is. He loved to use this little phrase, I tell you the truth. I looked in my Bible the other day and I saw how many times Jesus said, I tell you the truth. And here's one where he said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, Abraham had lived thousands of years before Jesus was born. And Jesus said, before that, I am. In other words, he had an eternal existence. He is forever present. He will forever be. And he will come again. How many times Jesus said, I am? Do you remember some of the ones he said? The I ams? He said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can anyone remember any of the other I ams he said? I am the resurrection and the life. Any more? I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Yes, he said all those things, didn't he? I am the true vine. He said lots of I ams. He tried to explain very clearly who he is. But the crowds that were hearing him say these things questioned and said, we don't understand. Where is this man from? We think he's from Nazareth. We think we know his father and mother, and aren't his brothers and sisters here with us? And Jesus had to turn and say to them, look, I know my Father. I know him because I am from my Father. And he has sent me here. I have come to do my Father's will. I am because I am one with my Father. You may be from below. I am from above. That is a unique claim, isn't it? Who he is. He is the eternal Son of God. I tell you the truth. There he says it again. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Jesus spoke and said, I am the way, the only way. I am the only foundation. Unless you build your life on me, unless you have me at the center of your life, you've missed the way. So we need to examine afresh who he is. We also need to think about why he came. Jesus said very clearly that he had come to do his Father's will. And the Bible clearly says in that very famous chapter of John chapter 1 that the Word, who speaks of Jesus, became flesh, took on a human body, and made his dwelling among us. He came to be where we are because he loves us and wants to be part of our lives. He came with an authority that convicted. It's amazing how you can read the Bible and catch the authority of Jesus. If you read the Old Testament, you'll find that many who spoke of God's word had to say, thus says the Lord, or the word of God says. What did Jesus say? I tell you the truth. He spoke with an authority that convicted. I say to you, Jesus says again and again. I don't think I could say that. Could you say that? We can't say we speak with that authority. But he spoke with the authority of God. He came with an authority that convicted. He came with parables that provoked. Do you love the parables of the Lord Jesus? He was a great storyteller, wasn't he? Who can ever forget the story of that lost son who took all that he was due to inherit and went off and spent it all and then ended up feeding pigs and wanted to go back to his father who welcomed him? We've all heard the story and we're all amazed at it until suddenly we realize, actually, the story was all about me because I was the one who needed to be found and find a father. I was the one who was lost. So the parables provoked to action. There were miracles that confirmed. Jesus performed great miracles, didn't he? He walked on water. He raised the dead. Many of his miracles were healing miracles to make people whole. He met people where they had need. But his miracles constantly pointed out what he said, that the kingdom of God is coming amongst you. He came to show that God is God, and he made clear that nothing was impossible. But there was such an attraction about Jesus. Why did he come? Because he had compassion, because he loved. How many times he stopped to spend time with individuals, didn't he? You know, there were great crowds pressing around him, and a woman touches the hem of his garment. And he stops in the midst of the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Look," he said, "there's crowds around you. Why do you say, 'Who touched me?'" And Jesus had compassion for the individual. How he loved that woman and made her whole. Why did he come? Because he wanted to be the foundation of her life. And Jesus also came with training that equipped. We're rushing through this. We need to unpack it all in much more detail. But I mentioned that Jesus had special disciples with him, 12 of them. He equipped them. They didn't understand at first what was imparted to them. But you look at their lives after the day of Pentecost and read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, you'll discover that they were equipped by the Lord Jesus. He'd become the foundation of their lives at that stage. Earlier on, they didn't understand. I need to understand why Jesus came. Because he came to lay down his life to pay the penalty for my sin. He did that once and for all when he died on the cross. And without him taking the penalty for my sin, I paid the penalty myself. So he came to be the foundation for forgiveness in my life. He also came to overcome the power of evil. Now you may sometimes be conscious that life is a struggle and a challenge. The devil makes sure that we have challenging, difficult times. But the Lord Jesus came to overcome the power of the devil himself, the power of evil. And he came to open up a new life of victory. That's why Jesus came. He wants to give us a foundation for our lives, which are victorious. And Jesus came to be the only guarantee of heaven. How many people do we still meet who think that if I try a little harder, do a little more, improve myself, that I'll be fine, I'll get to heaven? How many times do you hear a person, well, they've lived a good life, they're lovely people, they're bound to go to heaven? How many times do you hear the suggestion that, well, I have an understanding of Jesus, I attend a chapel, I come to church, but I trust in other things too? No, Jesus came to be the only guarantee of heaven. No one can lay any foundation other than the one which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's why he came, to be the foundation. If your life, my life, is built and developed on anyone or anything else, we missed the foundation. He came to be the only guarantee. Well, how does he become the foundation? Jesus said, "Who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice We started this little series by looking at that statement that Jesus made about a wise man who built his house on a rock and a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And Jesus ends that little encounter with these very words. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my words must put them into practice if he or she is to be a wise person. So if we're going to be building a foundation for our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to hear his words and we have to put them into practice. It needs action. It's more, Jesus said, more than just calling him Lord. We can be here this morning. All of us can be here and we can say, yes, I believe that Jesus is Lord. And many in Jesus' day did. And when Jesus told the story about the wise and the foolish men who were building, he said, many, many people say to me, Lord, Lord. But he said, there's much more to it than that. It is actually trusting Jesus alone to be Savior. It's not Jesus plus whether I can be better or join in this or do that. It's Jesus alone and what he has done. It's surrendering all to him and saying, here's my life, let it be all for you, truly him as master. It is obeying his word. Jesus said you have to put it into practice. It's a challenge, isn't it? How to obey what he says. You know, when you look through, I hope you read Matthew chapters 5, 6 and 7 as we recommended a couple of weeks ago. It's challenging. It says such things as do not judge or you too will be judged. And you've got to obey that, put it into practice. But you know, it's ever so easy, isn't it? I find it much easier. You can judge someone, some situation. We can grumble, we can moan, and all the other things that emanate from that. But Jesus says we have to obey his word. So he only becomes the foundation when it becomes part of our lives, when he becomes first. It means then following him completely at all times and in every part of life. Not just here for this hour on a Sunday morning, but tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever we choose to go, whoever we choose to be with, is Jesus Christ the one who is Lord in every part of our lives? And if he is, we'll begin to experience what he wanted us to experience, which is his risen life. Bible tells us that if we allow Jesus to be the foundation of our lives, he lives and we live in him. We are raised with Christ. And it's so important that that is worked out in God's power, and that's why we need to constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus becomes the foundation of our lives. Him living in us, him energizing us. So the first essential foundation is Jesus Christ. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So don't let anybody tell you that there's another foundation. Don't let anybody say all you need to do is be good enough, try harder, come to church, be religious, or any other suggestion. It's only in Jesus Christ. Is that clear? Have I made it clear? Have you understood? Have we got hold of it? I've tried to say it in as many ways as I can, but the Apostle Paul said it far better than I could. Would you like a little bit of homework? Something to ponder this week? You know I like just a little bit of homework. Well, there we are. Here's a couple of things for you to think about. Got a question. What experiences in your life have actually been foundational? You might like to think, back to childhood, teenage years, younger years, older years. What experiences in your life have been foundational? Here's another very important question. How and when did Jesus Christ become the essential foundation for you? Or has that yet to happen? You might like to ponder that question at home this week. And it might be helpful, as I suggested at the beginning with the building inspector, that sometimes we need to help one another. And we need to be open. If we sense any weakness or vulnerability in the foundations of our lives, sometimes we need a little bit of help. Someone to come alongside us. Someone to help get those foundations strengthened. It can only be God's work in us that will do it. But I hope that that will help. And I hope we can take practical steps. Because there is no other foundation for life other than the one that is already laid. And that is Jesus Christ. So I hope you find that helpful. We're going to bring things together by singing a lovely, lovely old hymn.